We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
Speaking of throwing away, Sunday morning, worshiping, hanging out with Atlas.
Yeah.
He realized that if he took the ribbon dancer streamer thing and whipped it handle first, that it like flew.
Yeah.
And he launched one and it landed in the plant in front of the church. And his eyes lit up and he's like, I'm doing it again. I'm like, nobody.
Yeah, I saw Heidi grow. That's so funny.
He
did it a bunch of times. And then he accidentally hit the offering box and then he looked at me and I smiled and I was like, I shouldn't have smiled. And then he kept trying to hit it. And I was like, oh, you naughty little guy.
Nothing he does is naughty. He can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is tell me.
Until he's 16 and he borrows her car.
It's fine. I'll get a new one. Keep it. It's yours now.
Yeah. Honestly, when he let out that war cry when she was reading that King James thing that I was not understanding, it was the perfect timing. Literally, the perfect timing.
That was the war cry. It was because he smoked the offering box.
That was so funny.
Whoa, I'm going to do that again.
In that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, my kids, man. And then everyone else is like, no, this is fine.
Yeah,
this
like, what do? Do you go get them? Like, do you let them just like, vibe you, it?
Here's the thing is when you have a little kid like that, what do you even do? Like, short of literally holding your hand over their mouth. Well, there's nothing
we
you
were
can
talking
do.
About this on the way home. Your even though you may think your kids are like, you know, crazy. They're like, they're extremely well behaved because there are some 2-year-olds that are terrors.
They're,
literally.
They're literally terrible too.
Yeah.
And he's like really good.
This morning he went into his sister's room and he was like just sitting on Brinley's head and bouncing up and down. And she was like, like they're having the time of their lives. I was like, what are you doing?
How old are you? 25?
Yep.
Yeah.
Old.
You guys are the youngest ones.
Someone just told me I was going to be old because I was going to be 25 this year. I was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, 25 and you guys have 3 under 2.
Yeah. We went on a short trip last year to Florida in what was the exact hottest week of the entire summer for Florida.
Oh, I would have been there.
And
I will say, it didn't feel that hot to me.
I almost dropped dead.
I was going to say, didn't you try to go mini golfing?
I quit. I didn't even make it to the first hole.
I forgot about that.
There's dragonflies everywhere.
I feel like it's not much worse than Wisconsin, honestly.
I don't know. I'm always inside. But when we took off to fly, they were right directly behind us. Cedric was holding my hand. Held his hand as we took off.
That's awesome.
It was his first, all of your first time flying.
The whole fam.
Yeah.
We have special guest Cedric and Odessa King on with us tonight. And we are super excited to talk to them because they are 25 and
24.
And they are living a godly life right now after a life that was not godly. And we are really enjoying bringing on these different age groups of people because it, number one, it shows you that you can follow God, whether you are a 16-year-old kid like Max or whether you're a 25-year-old kid like Cedric or if you're a, you know, 39-year-old guy or We are just super excited. They actually have an amazing testimony. So we have talked the name Atlas a lot. So they actually, they're 24 and 25, and they have three kids already.
They're so fertile.
Yeah, two and under.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty wild and awesome. So they're not only living a godly life right now, but they're also doing it as very young parents. Like, so the workload and the level of what they have to do in a day is insane to me. And it's amazing to me that they're not just these two kids that are choosing to live, honestly, selfish lives of just partying and figuring out what they want to be when they grow up type of thing. Like, so there was this person that said, this is how life goes. You spend your 20s screwing up your life. You spend your 30s fixing it. And then you spend your 40s enjoying it. And for a lot of people, that's honestly the case. Like, that's true. Like, a lot of people can relate to that. But the amazing part about God is now you two can start spending your 20s getting ready, prepared, and doing things for what God has you to do. And by the time you're in your 30s, hopefully completely just sold out on fire and bringing more people to the kingdom with you.
And enjoying your life instead of having to wait a decade.
Yes.
Yeah. They also did things in a godly order.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and they didn't have kids before they got married.
Yeah. I think that was more or less God's plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, feel like there wasn't a lot of precautions on our side, but I feel like it was all like kind of predestined, but kind of planned by God for us to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Odessa, you weren't supposed to be able to have kids, right?
Right. I had endometriosis, so they said that you probably can't have kids.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we should also say is that Odessa and Heidi are the same person. They look the same.
Post a picture because we had a Sunday where we wore basically the same outfit.
Was it Christmas Eve? I think something like that.
Something.
Yeah, but Odessa's got cool tattoos and Heidi's kind of a square.
I'm a big Whoa.
Hey, I love you the way you are.
Square.
Yeah.
You're a blank palette.
but they're very similar. So Heidi had a similar situation. Well,
they said I couldn't have kids because I had endometriosis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did you two meet?
Okay, so actually the first time I met her was, it's part of my testimony too, is I was actually, so I used to buy a pill from this kid every day and she used to walk with him. And one day I didn't see that kid. And I just walked up to her for the first time and was like, hey, where is this kid? She was like, I don't know. Hmm. We actually like met and started talking when we worked together.
Was it like a fast friendship? Like you immediately connected or?
I don't know if you know Cedric, but sometimes he's a little bit judgmental at first. So he did not like
not
me.
Anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, aww. I don't know.
I thought she was pretty. You could ask grandma about it.
So when did like the spark occur?
She told me how to mop.
You did?
Constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's easier if you do it this way.
Aw. You were about what age at that point? You were in high school?
Yeah, 17. 16, 17. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My 17. Junior year. Yeah. I was never like that, though. Like, I grew up and even though my home wasn't necessarily like a godly home, my dad was very, very strict. He did not let me like say anything bad about God. And like, you know, like going to church with grandpa and grandma, you know, having them as my pastors, like I always knew to pray and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like I never stopped praying even though I didn't go to church. But then there was just like certain things that happened and I ended up, like, not being able to play sports anymore. So, as a kid, you know, what's that verse? It's like the idle hands or the devil's playground.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it was. I couldn't play sports anymore. And
well, you were going to go to a Division I college for sports, right?
Yeah. And then I lost that from concussions. And then you get bored, so then you start doing other things. And I lost, like, my friends for the like the jocks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I still talked to them, but it wasn't like a...
You didn't have that same bond.
Right.
As like a teammate.
Yeah, we're not like suiting up together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you fill your time with other things or new friends. And
You should have went into swimming.
Yeah.
You got the
some Michael Phelps vibes going on.
I was gonna say you got the bod for it, and then I was like, I can't say that. It's weird.
I mean,
then,
the build.
You have better teeth than him.
Yeah, you could have suited up together then.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. I'll insert a rubber band snapping sound. Odessa, did you like him right away?
Cedric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I tried to talk to him right away, tried to make jokes because I worked there before him and he was kind of newer, so I wanted to make him feel like more welcome there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice of you. Most people in fast food are mean to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Odessa, what was your background? Like, Cedric, his household, they weren't like regular churchgoers, but you went to church sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we as a family, like, obviously pray over all of our meals, and like, there's obviously a connection there. But what was your background?
Yeah, I actually never really went to church. I think I lived with my mom up until like sixth grade, and then my brother and I went to live with his aunt, and she would take us once in a while, but we really never went to church. We had no education. I didn't know the difference between like God and Jesus or like mm-hmm. really anything. I was like, I'm not reading the Bible. That's way too complex for me. And now Heidi and I are doing a Bible in a year. And
yeah, buddy.
Mm-hmm. You're halfway through.
Yeah. Slowly but surely we're making mm-hmm. it.
Never give up.
So like what type of church did you go to occasionally? Was it like,
if you did
Lutheran
go.
Or?
It was a non-denominational.
Oh, okay.
So she was called to be this.
That's right.
Come on. Like, when did... You were talking about the scholarship. Nope, the divisional.
Yeah. I was just really good at football and basketball, but the too many concussions, and then the doctor said I couldn't play sports anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, I don't know. I got to say, like, I do have some solid friends from that time, so I'm not bashing them, because they all need Jesus. If you guys are listening, I love you. Come to church. That was my junior year. And then
can I just say, in fairness, it's like the environment here, and particularly at that high school, is a party environment.
Yeah,
like that's where your dad went into left field, right, Joe?
Yep.
Same age time frame, and it's like very common.
But
like in Wisconsin, people take their underage kids to the bar.
Yeah, yep. And that area is very segregated.
Yeah.
Due to like your preferences. So if your parents all camp together, you're probably hanging out.
Right.
If your parents all go to football games together, you're probably hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
If they all go to one tavern in town or bar in town, you're probably hanging out with those kids.
Right.
So if you like what was funny for like me and Brian that also somehow affected Cedric is when we were growing up out there, we lived by the lake. So we had access to all the wealthy lake home rich kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also hung out with all the party kids. And then he ended up in the same boat because they lived out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have all those friends.
Yeah. So you could float from one social group to mm-hmm. the next.
Yeah.
Leave the house one night in one car and get home to the house after being in three different cars throughout the night.
And in my case, like, the lake was the common ground, and, like, the kids, like, it would be, like, jock kids and party kids and, like, all the different groups, but the lake kind of brought everybody together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So did you not do any of the drugs or the drinking or the pills when you were a jock?
No, I was so scared to.
Yeah.
So scared to. I remember the first time I ever smoked weed, I was a sophomore or something, and I immediately called my mom to come pick me up. Because I was like, now, like, where I'm at in life, I understand that was like a conviction. Yeah, discernment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you're like, wrong place, not supposed to be here, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You want to like crawl out of your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was. And it's weird because that's how it was when I like actually got into it, but I just kept fighting it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We just talked about that on a recent episode where people have conviction and they stuff it down.
Yep.
And then they medicate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sleep, so they get sleep medication. They can't function during the day, so they get something to help them with that. And like the more you stuff things, and then it comes out in like behavioral stuff.
Yeah.
Like resentment, anger, yep, frustration. And the whole time it's because I've given this analogy before, but like, you know how you have a drawer and a lot of drawers and dressers, they have a track. Yeah. And like you can feel when the drawer is like half off the yeah track and it grinds mm and it's difficult to push in and out. That's how you are when you're off center from where God wants you mm-hmm in
well
your
we
life.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against mm-hmm principalities, powers, spiritual rulers of wickedness in heavenly realms. When your soul, you know, your thought processes, your soulish man, the flesh,
mm-hmm,
wants to partake in something because it's, one, it might make it feel better or numb.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, it's in rebellion to what you know is good.
Mm-hmm.
But then your spirit man is fighting that. So then you get the conviction from the spirit yeah man, but you have the intellect and the personality of
they're
the soul.
At odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Yeah.
And they don't care your age.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm
the more doors you open, the worse it gets, yeah, which you can amen, attest to.
Sister. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. But after that, it actually got worse. Like we were talking about that school, but then I ended up going to the alt school because
mm-hmm
I wasn't going to graduate because I started messing around too much. But
it was kind of like the fall from grace, because you were like star athlete, the first athletic person in the whole family basically.
Yeah,
well, dad played football.
Yeah.
But I
like
threw
at
shot
that
put
time
what like one time
and then you and you're smart and mm-hmm you were like the math kid, and then it was like all of a sudden things just went south.
Yeah.
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 What about you, Odessa?
What
were you
about me?
A partaker in the party life or no?
I was not. I was actually a square.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
I told you they're the same person.
I couldn't do drugs. I couldn't drink. I did end up drinking later on in my life, but it wasn't like a addiction or anything. But anytime I would try to smoke weed, like to hang out with any friends, I would just get so sick and I would vomit every time and fall asleep. Like, I could not do it. I couldn't drink. I would break out in hives. And
what the heck?
Yeah, see, same
so
person.
The similarities between us is actually
it's
freaky.
Eerie.
It's
eerie.
Honestly freaky. Like, mm-hmm, I literally, on my testimony that I talk about, I could never drink with Joe because I would get violently sick and mm-hmm I would just break out everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I just puke all the time. So I really didn't do anything
yeah
like that.
Yeah.
She had like the worst anxiety. It was terrible. We couldn't do anything.
Mm.
Like when we first started dating, it was like a chore to go in anywhere. Like the mall, that's what everyone did at that time.
Oh, the mall, yeah. But I also not didn't else like grow up going to the mall. Like other kids our age would go to the mall like every single weekend with their friends, but I didn't like come from money, so I was never like going to the mall because I didn't have the money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was hanging out with my friends, we would just go to like their campground or like do more outdoorsy things versus like what everyone else thought was fun, like going to spend money and stuff.
Is that why you're always picking up critters?
Yeah.
Actually, today I just picked up a toad. It was in the bathroom. It had lint on it. Came in from the dryer. I was like, "Hey,
oh
buddy,
gosh,
what you doing here?"
Not in our house.
No, not in our house.
Not in our house.
I would freak out.
It was
out
at work. Yeah.
Christina would light her house on fire.
I saw a baby red spider cute today on a water bottle, and I killed it, and then I threw the whole water bottle away.
I would do the same.
It's a good call.
Yep.
So what happened at the alt school?
It got real bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, like, that's...
Misery loves company.
Yeah, it was really mm-hmm bad. And the thing is, like, when I was there, I was, like, surrounded by people in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at this time, like, I wasn't really... When I was talking about the pill thing with Odessa, it wasn't even that bad, like... compared to the alt school. At the alt school, you could tell when like a new shipment of Xanax would come in
mm-hmm
because the entire school would be walking zombies. Mm. It was so bad.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And like the first time I ever did like a hardcore drug, it was in the bathroom at the old school. Mm. And it was like, it just got so bad. And then Odessa and I were talking the summer before, right? Because that's like when I started Arby's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was like, we were talking, we weren't dating until February, so that was like well into the alt school. And after school, like I ended up just dropping out so I could sit at home and take Xans and drink beer all the time. And Odessa, for some reason, this pretty girl, she just stayed with this, at the time, idiot. You know what I mean?
You were going through a lot, though, because you guys, your home life kind of went kaput.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it was all at the same time with the sports thing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your dad was estranged at that time, so there was separation from the larger family.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even you didn't have a relationship with us. Like you were close with me when you were little, and then nothing for a lot of years.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And your parents were very close to me. We used to live together, do everything together, work together. And then once God set me free, there was like just a split right down the middle. Yep. And then when all that happened, you started like at least coming to like youth group, but you were still acting out pretty bad.
Yeah, that's like grandpa and grandma, that's the rule. If you're going to live here, you gotta go to church. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And actually
know exactly what you mean.
I love that rule. Oh, my kids are gonna have that rule. Like mm-hmm. It's a good rule to have.
Yeah.
And like you think about it and you think it's so bad. Like it's such a
why are you forcing me into this?
It feels like an inconvenience.
Yeah, and like honestly it's because like first of all you have to be a good steward of your house. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like this is my area God has given me, and you're here.
That's for me in my house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're going to church because I'm not gonna have a sinner to like. I'm not gonna allow a sinner. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. that was part of the reason too. Is that around that time, like towards the end of high school at the alt school, I decided to move out of grandpa and grandma's. You know? Because I didn't want to go to church anymore.
So the rule for those listening is Joe and I, our parents, as soon as they had kids, basically came up, they had this rule that if you were going to live under their roof, that you had to attend church on Sunday. And if you didn't, then you found a different place to live, and then
until you went to church again,
and then you could come home just like normal. And I remember the first time that you didn't go to church.
Yeah.
And like when you're in that state of darkness, it feels like hurtful mm-hmm. because you can't see the light.
Right.
And it's a tough love approach.
For so long, I thought grandpa and grandma were just doing it for a head count. For the church.
Oh, really?
Such a bad outlook.
Yeah.
And you're convinced the enemy creeps in and he goes, they love the idea of church more than they love me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not true, man.
Yeah.
They love you so they want you at
they
church.
They know that the ground is going to get plowed even if you sleep in the back row.
Dude, grandpa's done this to grandma where he just moves people in, you know?
Yeah.
And
then
they have to go to church.
Yep.
Yeah. You mm-hmm.
know? It's not just family. Like, they just love everyone, you know?
Yeah.
They love him. They want to see him go to church. Like, I want to see Tyler Brown go to church.
Shout out, Tyler.
But, so Odessa, she stayed with me through all this.
It was dark. Crap. I don't know if you know this, if Odessa told you, but was it 4th of July? I think. I came to pick you two up and give you a ride to your grandma's.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And Cedric was 3 sheets to the wind and he was belligerent and he got out and went in and Odessa was still in the car and I said to her, there are other people out there and you don't have to be in a relationship with somebody that's going to be wasted all the time and talk to you like that. Now, was that ill-advised advice? I don't know. But she stayed with him. But at that time, it was so dark for Cedric. I mean, I was getting calls to show up at the emergency department.
Yeah, man. I'd wake up in restraints.
Yes. And I would show up and he would be like, and I worked there and he would be like mouthing off and doing all these things. And I'm like, just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And it was bad there for a while.
Yeah. It was so bad at that time that even like my original, not my original friends, but like the friends I started talking to.
Your core group.
Yeah. They went like, they would still talk to me, but they weren't going out of their way to see me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Besides one time when Tyler Brunn came to visit me because he hadn't seen me in so long. Mm-hmm. And like this is the day I knocked out my teeth. I was sitting on the freezer and I drank a lot. I didn't do anything else. I just drank a lot and I went to jump off. My feet didn't work and I just
face planted.
Yeah, melon first into the basement floor.
Mm-hmm.
And this little Tyler Brunn, like if you guys could see how small he is compared to me, he carried me up the stairs, like walked me upstairs. And I'm,
he's probably like 5'6" and you're 6'4".
Six, four, 6'3".
Yeah.
And I easily have like 50 pounds on Ty, like easily.
You know? I will say at the time you were skin and bones.
Yeah.
It was like his Adam's apple would protrude.
Dude, there was a picture like, I just saw and my eyes were black.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He looked like Jack Skellington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked like a skinnier version of Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, without the tattoos.
Yeah. And honestly, as you're talking, like 1 Corinthians 15:33 popped into my head where it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits."
Mm-hmm.
"Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Like just hearing the difference that you went from jock to that changing, and then all of a sudden you get around these people where you start to make these choices, and then going to the alt school where now you're like, these are my people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the road that started you down this fast spiral.
Mm-hmm.
At yeah. what and you're in and at this point you're not even old.
No, not even 18.
You're maybe not even 18.
18. Maybe yeah, at the alt school, mm-hmm. freshly.
It, 18. It always kind of tripped me out because like I ended up in an alternative school too at McKinley. Those alternative schools, like they started as a good idea to get kids not to drop out.
Right. Like just finish.
Because they didn't you know? Want the, you know, that affects like how a school looks if they got yes. like a high dropout rate
the,
or a high
the district. Rate. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like they come up with these alt schools and just kind of push the problems out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up with this, you know, this bad company situation because there's nobody out there. They don't, it's not like they have a pastor or somebody that
right.
knows Jesus out there to give people away. They just basically cater to your.
They're like, come as you are, like bring your kid or come yeah. drunk or high. It doesn't matter. We need you to finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it at your own pace.
They'll
yeah.
cater to your bad behaviors. Like yes. they would let us go out and smoke. Cigarettes mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. whatever else, you know? And then what they would do is provide like food and snacks so yeah. that you'd eat something.
Yeah, you'd at least like if you were in a bad situation, you'd at least get food from school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or like we know you're going to go home and do these drugs, but at least try and eat this food here. You know what I mean?
And then when you're in middle school, high school ages, at that time of your life, you think it's like the prime of your life.
Yeah, it doesn't right? matter. Yeah.
Like you
can't see beyond it.
No, you cannot mm-mm. see beyond it. Like these are my best friends.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna live with them forever. And like
here, Heidi and I sit.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but you guys didn't go to the same school.
We didn't.
No,
we
didn't. You went to the same homeschool for a little while.
But you but you can't see past any of that time frame. Right. And so in your situation, and honestly a lot of situations, the devil tries to take these kids out before they're even out of high school.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
like the like suicide.
There were six kids that died when I was in high school mm-hmm. alone. That's only 4 years, man.
How old were you the first time that the enemy tried to break your trust, whether it be through somebody trying to touch you, somebody trying to do something to you, or just flat out like your parents forgetting you somewhere or you thought they forgot you somewhere?
Oh, dude, one time I got forgotten at Altoona.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like Lake Altoona?
No, like the...
Oh, like the school?
Yeah, and I was like second grade then.
Second grade.
But hey, guess who came? Guess who randomly come driving down the road? Grandpa and Grandma, Tim and Lynette.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So the enemy tries to break people's trust so early.
Yeah.
I know, like, I can literally think back to a time, I was just telling somebody about this, where my mom had me in a store called Prangy Way that she used to love going to because she worked at it, like you and Shopko.
I pooped my pants there.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome. I did. Well, I almost did too.
I did. I kept saying, Mom, I got to go to the bathroom. And she was like, just hold on 1 second.
Well, I climbed into a round clothing rack to hide. Mm-hmm. And she thought, I'll teach this little brat a lesson. And she walked around the corner and watched. And by the time I came out of there, I had my first full-blown panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's how early the enemy was trying to take me out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So between that and the other things I went through as a kid, by the time I was 13 and I got my first taste of alcohol, it was like game on. Yeah. It was like, wow, this makes me a whole different person.
Yeah.
People have to realize when they're stewarding children and they're worried about their, you know, their eternity, their... Dude, get saved and work on your kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get saved. Have faith that you're saved.
Yeah.
Start going to church. It's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. And start focusing on what your kids are getting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like number one right there.
Look at how good it's turned out for you guys. You know, you guys live by that.
Yeah.
And establishing an open communication.
Yeah.
100%.
Because our generations, we weren't telling our parents things.
No, we hid everything. No,
we hid everything. No, and like they would have done something about it had we told them.
Oh, my dad would have.
Yeah.
He would have got worldly real quick.
That's why I was so scared to drink or do drugs, even though my dad was drinking and doing drugs.
Mm-hmm. Know?
But like things happen.
But like the best part about it is like you're going through it so your kids don't have to.
Yeah.
So all those withdrawals and cravings that you're having, like, you're going through it, so then your son doesn't have to do that. Or so your daughters don't, like, look at you and they're like, oh, yeah, this is love. Like, this is what I want. No, like, you are setting a precedent and you're the example.
Come on.
Yeah.
Joe and me actually just had this conversation on the way over here. If you don't break it for your, if you don't break it with you, you just forced your kid to have to try to break it.
Yep. Or your grandkid.
Or your great-grandkid. Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Like, that is a sobering thought. I struggle with anxiety and traveling, and I didn't, I'm going to break it more, but I didn't fully break it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a kid that's having to deal with it.
Well, like, and if you think of alcohol, for example, like so many kids are at home drinking at the fire with their parents. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're at home and they're safe at home. But you're opening those doors for that to like be with your kid's life.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell somebody no to something that you condoned.
Come on.
It's like a husband.
What you permit, you promote.
That gets his wife to watch pornography with him and then decides he doesn't think it's right if she watches it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't do that.
It's like a double standard.
If you if you made your wife watch pornography and then you came home and caught her watching it alone, you'd probably tear the house apart. You'd be so angry. Like, what are you doing? Am I not enough?
Mm-hmm. You'd be hurt.
But that's the seed that you planted. So it's really hard. And this is the same thing. You're taking this relationship you have with an innocent human being that God's given you the ability to steward. And you're saying, you know what? As long as you do it with me. But if you do it alone, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's so perverted.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you're barely 18, if that, at this point. You've knocked teeth out.
Yeah.
He had great teeth, too.
Oh, beautiful teeth.
Didn't even have braces.
You saw his teeth before you saw anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this before or after the seizures started?
No, this was like literally the same
right
month.
Here?
Yeah,
okay.
That summer.
Why don't you go into that a little bit?
I don't know why. Like, this girl. You hear what she just said? It's so attractive when you have a wife that's like... Listen, buddy, you're going through these cravings. Like, you got kids kids that are watching you.
You're in a battle.
I just want to say that before I go into shed light, or not shed light, but bring up any more darkness, because that is really cool.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm so blessed to have that 25, not 35 or 45. But
come on.
Yeah, so like even at this time, like these the new friends I made, we were like committing some bad crimes at this time. And like the Xanax that we were all buying actually eventually stopped being like real, and like they were actually like fake, coming from like other, probably even China, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, but yeah, like but the chemicals, they started getting so bad that like I started having seizures, even like when I was trying to slow down, or like I was just having seizures from, I don't know if it was like all the chemicals mixed together, because I was doing other drugs too, like, you know, like the party drugs, like Molly, and like, you know, like just the other ones. And one time I had a seizure, I was walking home from jail, and I only got arrested one time, okay?
He had a brush with the law.
Only once. And that's a miracle in its own. But I was walking home, had a seizure, woke up, and there's a bunch of paramedics around me. But that was like, it was just so bad. Like,
and I was on the phone with him too when he had that seizure. Like, he was walking home, we were just talking, and then he, like, all of a sudden there's a boom, and then there's like people rushing over by him, and I was like, I have no idea what's happening. And then all of a sudden I hear the paramedics, and I'm like, oh my god, like, I feel like I have to call someone. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
so got released from jail just to have a seizure. Get locked up in Mayo, you know.
Well, yeah,
it's almost like whatever they were putting in the Xanax, it was just like making you have seizures, because you had so many seizures, and you would just walk around with black eyes all the time because you'd hit your face on something. Because well, it's like 6 feet down. That's a big fall.
When you use stuff like that, you open the door to other things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you might get some doctors and stuff that'll say that, but anybody that's spiritual, like a shaman, if you told them you were having a seizure from taking this drug, they would look at it 100% spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
When you're giving something else the wheel and saying drive.
It was a manifestation of an evil spirit.
Yeah, because once you got free, they stopped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if it was a chemical imbalance that now created a hole in your brain where now you're all of a sudden having seizures all the time, you would still be having them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when the light came in, the darkness had to go.
Mm-hmm.
They say a lot of the times, like, you're just covering up a problem, like you're medicating. Mm-hmm. Was that your situation? Were you in pain and hurting and just trying all these different things? Or was it different for you where you were just doing them just because?
I mean, it started off like I was, you know, it started off like numbing the losing the sports career. But okay. Then eventually, like, I got so comfortable with being on something, which is funny because I said I was scared originally, like when I was young.
Well, it becomes a part of your personality.
Yeah.
Right, because then you start flirting with those spirits all the time, and they're always around you.
Yeah.
And I was so used to it that I hated being sober. Mm. Like, I did not like it. I didn't want to be, so I would do anything to not be.
Would being sober almost give you a panic attack?
No, I don't
Well, there was like other things too that transpired, right? Like, you lost a friend to suicide, and like there was a lot. It was a really turbulent time in your life.
There was a long time that you played parent in your home too,
mm-hmm.
where you were kind of taking care of other people because of their addictions,
mm-hmm.
plus trying to have this life where you might be a sports star.
Mm-hmm.
So there was probably subconsciously a lot of medicating going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's probably why I didn't like to be sober, is because like you don't have like the voice, like you don't have something calming you down. And I did quotations because it's not calming you down by any means. It's like it's actually like shutting your ears off to what God wants you to hear. You know what I mean? Or like how God wants you to feel or see. So yeah, that's probably.
And it prolongs the ability to actually fix anything, you know, because you're just basically, you just keep pushing it off. And then when the high wears off, then you're not thinking about it anymore again because you're looking for your next
fix.
Yeah. So I went through it where I convinced myself, or the demonic things in my life convinced me that I couldn't sleep without it. Like I couldn't do things without it.
Yeah.
So now it just became a part of my personality and my routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I knew that, like Saturday morning, I was going to get up and I was going to drink and start making breakfast for everybody because breakfast made everybody happy. But then by the time breakfast was done, my mind would go, if you eat what you just made, you're going to mess up what you got buzzing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden you're day drinking until like, you know, 1-2 in the afternoon, passing out, getting back up at like 7-8 at night and going at it again.
Yeah, because you're mad because you slept half your day away.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stay up all night trying to make up for it.
You know what's insane? Today I was on Instagram and I saw this post that said every single time the Bible mentions food, it has to do with a healing. So like you didn't want to eat that because you didn't want to be healed from your drunk. So like that's just insane.
Yeah, that's good.
So it was sometime after your brush with the law, you kind of you backed off of, and you ended up seeing like a neurologist and stuff.
Yeah.
And you backed off of taking the pills, but you didn't stop drinking.
Yeah. So actually, how that all panned out was I wanted to quit. So alcohol and Xanax, they affect the same parts of the brain.
They're both downers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you see what how Joe and Heidi said, it wasn't, it might not have been actually a chemical thing. It might have been, like, flirting with the spirits or however they said it. But I was scared to have seizures. Or, because, like, when I did try to quit, I would get lockjaw or, like, have seizures. Or one time I had sleep paralysis, which was the worst experience of my life. But so then I started drinking because I was put on paper and I was facing 11 years in prison when I got arrested.
Wow. Yeah. Was it for drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got caught with like 25 Xanax bars.
Yeah.
And they charged him with intent, even though it was just for his own addiction.
Yeah. But
getting caught with that many, they're like, oh, you're going to sell them.
But God showed grace in that situation.
Amen, sister. Yes, he did.
It was unmerited favor.
Yeah.
And you were given an opportunity to, like, restore your own record.
Yeah. And like,
so was that your breaking point, or did, or was that you just switching to booze?
It was like, I mean, the breaking point to not want to do drugs anymore.
Okay.
But like, it was the time where I started drinking all of the time. All of the time.
It was like a 30-pack a day.
Yeah,
it was
like
bad.
Really, really bad. Like at one point in time, Odessa said that like in the hospital I was yellow, like just jaundice now that I know some bad terms, you know, but.
Is that... And when you moved to Oklahoma? Or not yet?
Yeah, it was like Kadat time. So like right when I quit doing drugs. So I was like 19.
Okay. I was going to say, you're a baby now. Yeah. So this stuff is crazy to hear because 30 pack a day, but you're only 19 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if we were disclosing this or not, so you can cut it out if we want to. But Joe is actually Cedric's uncle. And so this is this generational curse where we have living proof in our bloodline that generational curses are very real.
When we shared a room when I lived with his parents because I did not want to go to church, I was drinking at least a 30 pack a day from the age of 17 all the way up until 21 when I moved out. I celebrated my 21st birthday sharing a bedroom with that kid. And like, it was like just a drunken dude hanging around outside of work, putting on Blue's Clues for this kid and giving him his first pocket knives when he was way too young to have them.
But the crazy part is, and why it's very generational, is not only was that part very similar, but then you made a comment that you enjoyed the way that it tastes. And I heard a very similar comment out of you. That you enjoyed the taste, like you, it was just like you knew.
Yeah. Like, never with liquor, though. I always hated liquor, which is the only difference between Joe and I, because I even stopped drinking around the same time. Like, you know, from 17, I mean, he drank past 21, but like from 17 to 21 was the peak. But I slowed down shortly after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've had a conversation with Joe and Heidi before, and it's like, just like Odessa was saying earlier, it's like, you can see it with Max and Jasmine. Warms my heart because they stepped up and they said, no, like, we're not drinking anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to cultivate a different environment for our family.
Yeah.
And you see how it turned out for Max and Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And it has to be, that's like the generational curse that I have to cut off.
Yep.
Yes.
You know what yep. I mean? Mm-hmm. So my son doesn't have to, or yeah. so Atlas's son doesn't
and you,
have to.
And you, Max and Jasmine and Hannah, you're all at the same generation too. Mm-hmm. So then it's not going to trickle on down. Like, it's just done.
Yeah, I hit yeah. a roadblock.
You
yeah.
also, they have to know that they're deliberate of it.
Yeah. yeah. But not only in just the alcohol, though. So you now have pills.
Weed.
And marijuana.
Yeah.
That, like, for some reason, I don't know why, but it's like certain drugs and things are, like, air quotes, like, looked at as, like, less harmful
yeah.
or mm-hmm. more acceptable.
Yeah, like, yeah. They're it's about insane. To reschedule weed on a federal level, and I'm like, bro, it's still, like, a sin. It yeah. doesn't matter.
My mm-hmm. buddy, he's a sergeant of a local police department. He was telling me, he said, my biggest problem with what they want to do is bad guys are still going to be bad guys.
Yeah. yeah.
So if you go get weed from somebody that gets it medicinally, and the bad guy still wants to have people addicted and make money, he's going to lace it with fentanyl.
That's mm-hmm. what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, my friend, this is kind of bad, but she's addicted to cocaine. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're lacing cocaine with fentanyl. Like, Cedric has a friend, and he's straight addicted to fentanyl.
Yep.
Like, and it's so scary, because you're like, oh, no, that's not around me, but it is. It's right everywhere. In Eau Claire.
You don't even know. Mm-hmm. You don't know it is. And right. that was, like, when I said that the pills that we first, like, when the drugs that came in were fake, like, I don't know if it's true, but they said that they had fentanyl in them.
Yeah,
but then
probably.
There's also, like, other, like, things made in a random lab that was, like, similar right. to this chemical, you know, and that's literally killing people, you know?
There's such, I mean, people underestimate the opioid crisis, but, mm-hmm. Our dad recently had a kidney transplant, and the people at the transplant center said that there's a surplus of organs
mm-hmm.
because of the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. So people are sad. Getting transplants faster than ever because people that are Cedric and Odessa's age yeah. or younger
yeah.
are overdosing unintentionally sometimes because whatever they're taking was laced, and they're dying of an overdose, and then they have perfectly good organs.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these people are using drugs for, like, the first or second time,
yeah.
and they're dying.
My buddy said that, you know, out of, like, almost 40 years of being an officer and a detective, he said in the last 5 years he's had to sit in on more teenage autopsies than he thought he'd ever mm-hmm. see. But more in, like, 1 year, he said, than he had in 20.
Yeah.
And he said, all of a sudden you're a detective and you have to start asking questions. So now you go to the friends group at the local high school and you start questioning these kids. What do you know about Johnny? How did he get into drugs? And they're like, Johnny was, like, our best friend. We did everything together. He played football. He was straight A student. But 3 months ago, he pulled off somebody's vape pen and have fentanyl, and all of a sudden Johnny's shooting heroin,
mm-hmm.
right? So within a matter of months, because of that one laced
mm-hmm.
vape pen or whatever that they used, or that joint or whatever it was, something hit them spiritually yeah. and physically so hard
yeah.
that they were willing to stick a needle in their arm.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy, too, because you think to yourself, oh, I'll never do meth or I'll never do anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just yeah. a bad drug. But then all of a sudden your friends start doing it, people you never thought would do it. And then you could either, like, fall in, oh, my friends are doing it, so it's not that bad, and then I'm going to do it. Or you can be like, oh, my God, like, everyone I know is doing it. What do I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is, again, why this testimony tonight is so huge, because, like Christina was just saying, we are in, like, an epidemic of people, is that proper word?
Epidemic.
It's worse than COVID. Yeah. More people die dying. Every single day.
It's crazy.
I mean, and like exponentially worse.
People aren't okay with you being sober because people do that like for weed and alcohol and everything. They're like, oh no, it's just one.
Yeah.
Like, why can't people just accept no?
That's it's the worst with alcohol in our region because, I mean, it's widely known that Wisconsin is like the drunkest state. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to a point where, first of all, people are waking up and they're stopping drinking.
Yeah.
And they're getting sober. And it's to a point now where people are saying, like, if somebody's at your party or your get together and they say they don't want alcohol, don't ask why.
Yeah.
Like, just leave it.
Normalize it.
Yeah. But around here, it's you could be 50 and they're trying to pressure you to have a beer.
Where was your come to Jesus moment?
Yeah. Where's our butt God?
Okay. Yes. Well, or is there like, so is there more, but from the, like, the alcohol?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it.
Cause you guys moved.
Yeah.
And things got worse when you moved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Oklahoma for a job after I quit doing drugs, I worked at a different job. It was a decent job. And all the people that I was around just drank all the time. You know what I mean?
They were so, like, old men. So, like, for old men, that's normalized.
Yeah, and they're like, you're 19, 20. Like, why? You live in Oklahoma now. You can drink beer. Like, you're fine. I'll get it for you. And, like, Odessa at this time, she was, like, trying not to drink. But she would, like, because she didn't want me to drink, obviously, because I was not nice when I was drunk. So Odessa was like, I don't want you to, but eventually ended up just like it just being like a part of our life when we lived there, you know what I mean? And when we moved back,
and that's where you got engaged.
Yeah,
it was in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was one of the points I had down, but I forgot that one. It's a big one. It was a big one. But no, then we moved back for a different job, and we ended up getting like not a hotel, an apartment in Eau Claire. And that was like one of the turning points. Was like, I mean, it was, don't get me wrong, I gained a lot of weight because all I was doing was drinking. And like, I was just mean all the time.
Yeah, you went from skin and bones to like having like
almost 300.
A little round face. Yeah.
Almost 300?
Yeah, I was like 260, 270.
I just can't picture that from you.
Yeah, I know. But I remember I would just, like, go to church sometimes when we lived in this apartment. And, like, my dad, like, stopped going at this time. My sister stopped going because they moved in somewhere else. And my grandpa called me one day on a Sunday right after church, which is, I call him now after church and he doesn't answer. So this is rare. This is a rare occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually talking to someone after church.
We all laugh because we know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, he forgets to turn his phone back.
Yeah, it's not intentional. It's just, he's ministering to someone after he just ministered to the church.
You just know as a pastor's kid that your parents are unreachable.
Yeah. Don't call him during this time. But he called me during that time. I remember, quote unquote, he said, he was going off about me not going to church, which grandpa was doing. And then he said, and none of yous are going, that's a none of yous, that's grandpa. He said, none of yous are going to church anymore. Talking about my dad, my sister, and I. And right then I was like, I got another, it wasn't even like a, like from grandpa. It was like a third person looking at grandpa as my pastor, because that's the church that I identify with. Everyone wants to identify with something nowadays.
It is kind of like raising, because when I, like, talk about our church, I'm like, that church raised me. So I don't have any history with another church. My only beliefs and my core systems is what's coming from this church.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, then I started going because, like, God was like, your pastor's reaching out to you.
Yeah.
Being like, why aren't you going to church? I didn't look at him as my
grandpa. He went after the one, left the 99 there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I would go, but then I was just like
a Sunday Christian.
Yeah. And then I started like working out heavy, and then I fell into like vain and idol worship almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Vanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Odessa still stayed with me through it all. It was funny. She like at this time was going to school.
Do you think that part of that is just growing up as a guy though in the world, and like I think every guy, women too, everybody kind of goes through, they get attacked with ideas of vanity.
Oh, yeah.
And
I did diet pills, like Joe did diet pills, Joey Stowe's.
Being self-obsessed. I wasn't flex. Like that as much yeah. with like weight. I was more of like a makeup and hair girly, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just a thing that we all go through. But you have still to say spiritual. No to it.
It is, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You mm-hmm. have to say no to it. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. don't fall. Because it's like when I was younger.
You would get real defensive, too.
Yeah.
If somebody would say, like, oh, well, going to the gym can lead to vanity and stuff like that.
I would get mad.
He would get yeah. actually, like, physically mad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so dumb. Like, mm-hmm. like, you guys were not wrong. I could sit down and eat that one plate. It's not going to kill you to eat that plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But it was like, say no to that as a young person, because like Joe and Heidi said when I was in youth group, you don't want to be 30 or 40 coming to God now and being a baby Christian in your 30s or 40s.
Come on.
Because you like, we're young right now. Younger. Odessa thinks we're old, but we're young.
You're young.
You're young.
Think about like if 10 years from now, if we're still on the same road, like that's going to be like 11, 12 years of being like good.
Firmly planted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And vice, like on the flip side, if you weren't, like how embarrassing.
Yeah.
How yeah. embarrassing.
Well, and know? If you've been firmly planted for a good solid 10 years, by the time mm-hmm. you're in your mid 30s, look at how much fruit you're going to have following you.
Mm-hmm. And that's all my kids would know. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're pure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's your job as a parent to like how you say, like rear them in Christ or whatever, bring them to church because you love them, you know what yeah. I mean?
And that's like, again, like you're setting that precedent.
Mm-hmm.
And life happens, like if a person is trying really hard, there's so many people that they have like a big fight, knockdown, drag out something, mm-hmm. and then they deem themselves as unforgivable, and then they'll quit or they'll chuck it all, and then they lose the trust that they had gained and they have to start over. And that's like the hardest part, because that
yeah.
what I've learned to do with Heidi and myself is like, so we just had a worship night at the house
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately you were working, but that whole day the enemy was trying to take our family out. I mean, there was like a lot going on. Max was getting ready to go on a trip. So there was just discord. Everybody had needs.
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is everybody in the household had legitimate needs, but everybody was focused on their self, their own need.
Mm-hmm.
And it resulted in discord, to the point where an hour before this event, we had been at a graduation party for one of our loved ones at the church, and like I went home and I said I should just text everybody and just like, I know this is of God and I know that's why the enemy has attacked it, but we should start over. I was like, this will be just unfair to everybody that's coming.
But can you imagine, I just heard somebody ministering on this, can you imagine if Paul couldn't forgive himself for persecuting Christians?
Right.
Yeah.
When he was Saul, and he wrote the majority of the New Testament.
14 books.
Right, of the New Testament. He was one of the like pillars of early Christianity, like founded the church. And can you imagine if his whole goal in life was to persecute and kill Christians
yeah.
until he got saved.
Yeah.
Dude, we sucked it up and we took communion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the power of God came into our home.
Yeah.
And it shifted the atmosphere of our physical house. And when I went to bed that night, I had such a joy and peace in my life. It was like none of that other stuff ever happened.
And that's just like so powerful. Like imagine if you just didn't have any conflictions and your plans always went accordingly. You wouldn't experience those like powerful moments. And I think that's like what we need to like kind of mm-hmm. humble us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, overcoming that adversity.
Yeah. So, you don't know how good it is until you know how bad it can be.
Mm-hmm. But that's like part of my testimony, I feel like, is that's why I said, like, growing up it wasn't perfect, but I still always turned to God, is because part of my testimony is literally being delivered from grace abuse. Like, I always knew that you could just ask for forgiveness, and then someday you'll get baptized and everything will be wiped away, but you just wait till you're in your 30s and you're done messing around.
Sowing your wild oats.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like, just because you fail at something, don't give up, because God's literally going to, he's going to use that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be explaining my whole life to you guys, but I know there's going to be one person out there that hears this, and me stepping out of, like, out of my comfort zone, being vulnerable, sharing all these little instances is literally going to, at all these times, I probably felt like I was failing and like I was totally unforgivable. But like, I knew that you could just ask God for forgiveness. But like, if you fail, when you try to turn your life around, he's going to use your failures later on in the road to build you up more. Do you know what I mean?
That's mm-hmm. right.
Even if it's just to bring one person closer.
Yeah. That's right. So at the worship night, Heidi said, we sang Goodness of God, which is one of your favorite songs. And in the song, it says, I've known you as a father and I've known you as a friend. Mm-hmm. And when you mess up with your friend, what does your friend do? It's all right. We got this. We'll fix it. We'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. Right? And like, as a father, you're a father now. Yeah. And if your kid messes up, you don't want to just pummel them into the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing that people forget is that God actually, he loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good father says, don't worry, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
Or how can we fix this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he loves you and he wants to see you do well in life, and he wants you happy, and he wants to love on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So like, don't get so harsh on yourself over the failures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I will never agree with not one person saying they just have to sow their wild oats, I will never agree with it. I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
Is because you almost gotten taken out sowing those wild oats.
So many times.
Like, you almost got removed from this earth before you were even 21 by just having like that mentality of just gotta get it out of your system of thing.
You were run over by a golf cart.
I forgot
about
the gator.
That.
Yeah,
the gator.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And the amazing part too is one of your moments. So not only did a minister of the gospel reach out to you and call you back in when you were in a hard time, but your heart was ready for it also. So all of this is God's constant knocking, God's constant timing of, I'm going to pull him in again.
Yep.
I'm going to pull him in again. I'm going to pull him in again.
Yep.
And he keeps doing this and doing this and doing this until finally one day we can submit enough to be like, all right, like, let's get, like, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to come back home. You have a prodigal son story. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you go back into that house, it wasn't like rainbows. Like, there has been growth and things that you've had to overcome even since coming back into the house of God.
Yeah.
But he's pulled you in close enough now where he's now chastising you because he's going to be like, you're my kid now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I'm going to tweak you up so that you can become strong.
It's out of love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I love you, and he's going to make you just this edifice, right? Mm-hmm. Joe talks about edifice all the time. But the crazy part, and I just want to hit this before, you know, we get too far, is your wedding day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before we go there, Odessa, what was your impression like this whole time? Because you said you didn't really grow up in church. You didn't come from like a big family. We have this big, loud, involved family.
I tell Cedric all the time he takes his family for granted, because like, growing up, it was really just me, my brothers, and my mom. Like, we didn't have a big family, so like, being a part of this like big family, at first it was definitely intimidating, because I did struggle with anxiety, and I was like, please don't make me be the center of your attention.
Like, she didn't even want to open Christmas presents.
I remember that first Christmas.
I was like, can you please sit by me, Christina? Can you please like talk the entire time I'm opening a present? Like, I need help here. And yeah, and now I love it like I would.
Now you push for it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, let's go to the king's house. Like, aren't they doing something?
Yeah. But like, as far as church is concerned, like, your first impression of church, like, did you automatically just fall in love with it, or was it a growing experience for you too?
It was definitely a growing experience for me, because getting into the church, it was a small church too, and like being new to something so small and intimate, sometimes like you're looked at as an outsider, which like I know in a church setting you're not looked at as an outsider, but that's how I felt. So I had a little bit of anxiety coming into it. But now I definitely feel at home at the church.
Yeah.
The insane part about this, and I talk about you often, is because there has been like, you have no church background, and the fact that you have become like one of me and Christina's like spiritual like confidants. Like, it's amazing to me, because that is such a beautiful picture where there was no church hurt there to deal with. This is the beauty, and why Joe often talks about, we need people off the streets who have never heard Jesus. We need them in the church, because you don't spend all this time having church hurts or past things that you have to get through. God took this pure person that had no church background, and honestly, like, you, Christina, like, you're in line with one of these spiritual heavy people that I would go to. And I find that fascinating and amazing, because you went from absolutely pure baby Christian to like eating the meat. I know people that have been in the church for years that still can't eat meat. And like, I have this chick in front of me that's like reading the Bible.
They don't
want to
read the word.
No.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a hunger for it.
She's reading the Bible. Like, do you know how amazing?
Reading the Bible, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Taking care of her children.
Which is crazy, because the first time I ever heard anyone speak in tongues, I was like, oh my God, this is scary. Like, are you possessed? What is happening?
Possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. It's a grandpa
said.
Yeah. But also,
you guys moved into a house literally like a half a block from a witchcraft store and a place where they would meet and do like all kinds of stuff. And then God started allowing you to have dreams, prophetic dreams, and then pray and intercede. And now that place is shut down.
It was like, what? I was very bothered by it. They were having a magic sale, and I called Joe and Heidi, and I was like, hey, like, what do I do? Do you want to go down there and pray? Like, what should we do? And they're like, well, we can just pray here. Unless you feel called to go pray, then definitely go pray. And I was like, okay, we can pray here. This is a pretty good spot.
It worked, though.
Yeah. Like, 2 months later, they have closing signs. Yep. I'm like, this is God. Like, can't tell me that's not God.
Come on. But I have this woman now that she desires the word.
Yeah.
Can I just say that if you can find somebody that desires the word and wants to do Bible, like actually wants to do Bible studies, actually wants to read the word. Like, you don't have to like check in with them every 5 seconds of like, are you going to come? Are you going to read this? Are you going to do it? Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on. But you actually have people that get paired together that have a desire and a hunger to just digest this stuff. It's game changing. Find these people if you do not have these people in your life, because it will change your outlook on life. It will change the way that you do life. It will change everything.
Just like you said, bad company corrupts good habits. Good company will pull you out of your bad habits.
Come on.
Yeah.
And they'll pull you up out of that muck in the mire of day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And you may get like a good hair beautician or a good nurse.
Yeah. And I'm praying over all my clients.
Come on.
When I put that oil in your hair, it's not just for the frizz.
Come on. But we do have to hit on the wedding, because your wedding was a wedding I've never experienced before. And I need you guys to talk about it. like, so two things happened at your wedding. Mm-hmm. One right in the middle of the ceremony.
Yeah, you guys got married.
I just straight up yawned.
You guys got married.
I'm trying to find the message, but I'm looking.
Well, she's looking for that. I will say one time when I was drinking all the time, I told Odessa, no matter what, I will always love God more than you, which is kind of contradicting myself at that time. And Odessa actually got mad at me.
I got offended, okay? Because, like, if you're not even putting God first in your life, how are you going to love him more than me? And, like, I didn't understand what it was like to have a relationship with God and how intimate that truly is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And now she gets it.
Now she loves God more than she loves you.
Yeah. Amen. Which for anybody listening that gets confused by that, that's actually how it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Because you can't be a good husband, you can't be a good wife, and you can't be a good mother or father if Christ is not top priority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, I actually, for our wedding, we didn't have a lot of our friends come, which actually might be part of that, you know. And there was, like, I even had family that didn't come, even though they were invited, which is, like, I didn't get offended. But maybe
it was, certain, like, who was supposed to be there was there.
And, like, Grandpa ended up, he was doing my wedding. He officiated it. And in the middle of it, he got a word.
During the opening prayer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And can I just say that we've been to quite a few weddings.
So many.
And never has there been a message in tongues
and an interpretation.
In the wedding.
Prophecy.
I just sent it to Heidi because she's going to be a better reader.
I just remember looking over at your uncle who thinks himself as of the Native American religion. And he's sitting there. He's got his tobacco pouch and beadwork on. And as soon as that message in tongues came, there was a reverence hit him, and he bowed his head.
Mm. It was so powerful. Like, we have a video of it, and, like, our friends who aren't even, like, religious at all, they're, like, putting their hands out, and they're praying for us as well.
A reverence came into the room.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you...
So, Odessa walked up the aisle. Mm-hmm. Cedric was already up there. Everybody was on their feet, right? And he opened in prayer.
Yeah.
In the middle of his opening prayer, went into a message in tongues, interpreted it, and you're going to read the interpretation.
Yeah. It said, "Thus saith the Lord thy God, my spirit's going to be with you. This day I'm starting a work that I will bring to completion. I'm building in the depths today that many will look at and they're going to be jealous. They're going to desire what you have. Behold, I'm telling you this day, you keep your eyes on me. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right, but look into my eyes. I'm going to wake you in the morning by my mercy. I'm going to walk you through the day in my love. I'm going to bring the words of knowledge that you need, and I'm going to bring them with the wisdom to make them operate. I'm going to show you the ways of prosperity, for all prosperity is mine. But you be obedient to my word, be obedient to my call, and I should give you all the things that you've ever needed."
Ooh.
That, what was crazy is it was so fluid. There's so no fluid. Way some dude no could have like no. went Mm-mm. into a message in tongues and then just flowed like
straight
that.
Straight into interpretation. No, there's no way. And it like was now smooth. Every single part of it, like each time you read it, there's like a different part that sticks out to me. Like I can't read the Bible now without highlighting "don't look to the left" or "don't look to the right."
Come on.
Because now that just sticks out Come to on. Me. Like, are you looking or are you looking at me? Come what on. Way are you following? Because you can take a left and still get to your destination. But do you really want that detour?
Come on. So good.
Oh, she got the preach on her.
Yeah.
Mm.
And honestly, what a God. What a God that we serve. That he chose you too.
He came to your wedding.
That he literally came to your wedding. Like,
he's known for going to weddings.
But he had something to say at mine.
Like, yeah. Some, and honestly,
we also braided the rope too.
That's so amazing.
Mm-hmm. And
took communion.
And
got baptized.
Yeah, yes.
Got
baptized. So that was another thing at a wedding that I've never experienced. But these two, at the end, they had their wedding, they got married, they had their clean reception.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a dry reception.
Reception.
I was going to say, you ate a delicious meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We even had a dance.
Oh, yep.
So
yep.
fun.
Everybody at your wedding? Yes. And all the people that came, all were like, this is one of the best weddings we've ever been to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the best wedding ever.
Yeah. And then they ended the evening getting baptized together.
Yeah. And then we pulled Tyler and Skylar and all the other Eilers. And those guys got to help baptize you guys. And I'm watching these ruffians.
They were crying.
Yeah
they like, were totally
they were touched
crying.
By God.
You know, that's a seed that was planted in those boys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that will have fruit one day. Mm-hmm. Like they will bring, that will be in remembrance.
Can you imagine?
That will be in their testimony.
They yes. want to ask some lady to marry them down the road, and they're like, I want a baptism at my wedding.
It has to be dry.
They call you up and they're like, hey, how do we do the baptism thing like you had? And you're like, you have to go through marriage counseling
first of all,
with grandpa.
Yeah, marriage yeah. counseling, Bible classes.
Yeah, and buy a cow tank. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's a story of God's goodness through
really
and through.
Is.
And yeah. it's not even near done.
Oh my gosh. You're it's not. I still feel like you guys are in like chapter 2.
Raising
I
Kings know. The early years. This is like first be... book.
Well, Cedric was actually sober for, was it like 2 months
yeah.
prior to our wedding and even after our yeah. wedding?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so yes. much fun to watch as you guys grow and you look out into the crowd and see like a little El Salvadorian woman holding the girls while you're ministering the gospel.
Come
and
on.
God's using you to get her grandson and granddaughter saved.
Yeah. Listen, you two and your blonde hair and blue eyes are a hit down south. I mean, I show pictures of the kids to Carlos's family and they're like, oh my God,
yeah.
they can't even handle it. They're like Barbies. Mm.
They'll all come up to hear you speak when
yes.
we get down there.
Oh, for sure.
First crusades. Of all, look at how tall that guy is.
Yeah. Look yeah. how pretty his wife is.
The cool part about this is I feel like it's like the debut of the king, you know, testimony. And the word says that you overcome by the word of your testimony. Joe, like, brought this to a new light to me just like a couple days ago, where every single time you tell it now, mm. you're overcoming.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a mark today.
And if you're struggling,
you
tell it.
So he literally, so he says every single time that he is in a awkward situation, he goes to his testimony. And he said all of a sudden that verse started to get a new perspective. You overcome by the word of your testimony. Yeah. Anytime there's a struggle, anytime there's a temptation, anytime there's anything, you find the closest person you can that God highlights to you and you tell your testimony.
Yes.
Because you're going to overcome that by doing that thing right there.
Honestly, call someone up like me or Joe or Heidi and workshop it, because everybody should workshop their testimony if
call
you plan
Tyler
to share
up.
Yeah
yes.
and just be like I want to run through this with you. And like, summer's a hard time for a lot of people in this area and temptation runs wild,
but can you imagine if
you confront that with the word of your testimony,
if every single time you felt like you got tempted in the summer, you told your testimony, I guarantee you those temptations would stop real quick.
Yeah.
Just
because the devil doesn't want you to share it.
Come on.
Just a couple months ago, I had woken up, I had a dream, and I told Heidi about it. And I said, I don't know if I'm supposed to call this guy or what. And we had grown apart over the years. And it was about 6 o'clock that evening. I pulled up in front of the meat shop. I was going to get some steaks. And I thought, I'm just going to call him. So I called, answers the phone like on the second ring. Oh my God, the king, what's going on? And I'm like, not much, how are you? And he goes, let me call you back in 3 minutes. I was like, all right. Sat there and waited 20 minutes. No call back. Went in. I'm getting steaks. Phone starts ringing. I run back out, get in the truck. He's like, oh my gosh, man. How you been? Good. How are you? Good. I had a dream about you last night, and it's bothered me all day. I just needed to call and check on you and make sure you're good. He's like, dude, you're never going to believe this. He goes, I've been sober for 3 months. And he said, I was just leaving work, and a pack of these younger guys were just pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to go to the bar. And he goes, I was actually about to go. And he goes, my phone vibrated, looked down, it said the king. Mm-hmm. He said, I answered it. He said, I think that's a sign from God. I wasn't supposed to go out. And I said, absolutely, it's a sign from God. Mm-hmm. When you make that phone call, when you just put it in your mind that you're going to share that testimony, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the yep. blood that was shed by Jesus, and the word of your testimony. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus cleansing you is shown through your testimony. Other people get to experience that through you. And by doing that, you are destroying the borders of hell that yes. were trying to consume you and your children. Mm-hmm. So you're destroying.
You
want
to go to
hell.
War? You're in one. Yeah. You're in one against the gates of hell.
Come you on. Don't want to go to war? To you're in
expand.
One.
Expand. Yeah.
You gotta just get,
you
just gotta
you
get
wanna go to war? You're in one.
Yeah.
Don't you want don't to. Want to? It's too bad. You better.
You're pull already your a soldier. Up.
Yeah. Better win.
Yeah.
Better go for the good side.
We already won.
Yeah.
Come on.
We already won. That's we're right. we're fighting from the high ground. We're in a place of victory.
He said you're more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You can't be more than a conqueror unless everything's been conquered. So you're always coming from victory instead yeah. of running to
you
victory.
You get to just defend your
yes
your title.
Yes.
As son and daughter of yeah. the king.
Defend his honor.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at that face.
I'm like...
She looks
is,
like...
This is good. Is there anything else that you want to hit?
Yeah, I'll hurry up, though, because it's actually two vital points, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time, Odessa said I was sober after, but then I started flirting with the spirits.
Yeah.
And I ended up falling back into drinking.
And that's the thing, too, because the spirits will lie to you. There's, oh, they yeah. tell you all the time, it's okay, you can do this in moderation. Mm. Like,
yep.
you yeah. have control, it's okay, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Everybody does
good.
It yeah. in like, moderation.
You can have a drink with your friends, it's just dinner.
Like, dude, you're at a baby shower.
Yeah, it's you're so fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
you're fine. Yeah, no, not at all. So I'll tell Psych. You the night real quick. I went and got just, I started off drinking just socially, and then it got real bad real fast. And Odessa and I were not doing good. I was literally not myself. I don't remember any of it.
If Cedric yep. drinks, he becomes real pushy, and it's going to be his way or the highway.
Yeah, bad. But Odessa, I got so out of control, Odessa didn't know what to do. So she called the pastors, Joe and Heidi. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they show up in minutes.
Dude, can I just tap in on this for 1 second?
Yeah.
We were at a dinner date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I didn't know that. I'm
they
sorry.
Didn't even pay their bill.
And there, we were at their house, oh. so it was even more awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But something hit me.
Mm.
See, this is God. Where I was like, we have to leave right now.
Yeah.
And we literally left, and I don't leave my kids alone. Like, Maximus, right now, he's like, I would trust him. But... this was like a little bit ago yeah. like
Atlas wasn't even
no
yet.
So it was at least 2 years ago and I at that time I would not trust Max watch Jasmine. I literally dropped both of my kids off at home.
Don't like, light no fires.
It was like watch your yeah. sister
yeah.
and that's like so for God to even move on me and Joe like that, that is out of the ordinary.
Yeah, he's like go yeah. I got your kids
yeah
you know mm-hmm. what I mean.
Well, what you're into jujitsu
yeah.
really bad
mm-hmm.
and so we went to he was drinking with a friend, and we went to his house, but his house was more of like a frat house,
oh,
and it was kind of in Bloomer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, which is like a half an hour away from our house. So we went there. I had no choice. I was like, okay. And then they were playing jujitsu in the basement, and what even happened?
I had this guy in a hold. I'm not going to specify, but I had him in a hold. He somehow slipped out, and when he slipped out, I just smacked my face again on another basement floor, and I split my eyebrow open. I was gushing everywhere. And the kid who did it was actually a CNA, so he got me, you know, he like
cold compress.
Yeah, he got me set up for a little bit there, but then we ended up going home.
Well, you were instantly like filled with rage, and you're like, "No, I need a rematch." And I'm like, no, you're bleeding. We have a baby. We're leaving."
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the spirits that take over. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I would never, never take my son somewhere. I don't even like going to bars and grills with my kid.
Yeah.
Like Hallie Bar and Grill, not sponsored. I love them, but I'm not taking my son there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you get under like the control of different spirits, they start making decisions for you.
Come on.
You know what I mean? So I have my son in this surrounding. Mm-hmm. So stupid. And we finally went home, right? Mm-hmm. It took a long time, but we finally went home. And that's when it got real bad because I was so mad from this kid, you know,
getting out of bruised, the bruised
yeah.
ego.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So I can't wait until anybody that knows anything about jujitsu hears Odessa say it. So they were playing jujitsu. Yeah.
I love that.
That was amazing.
Cedric at the time was in his early 20s, and him and his friends wrestled.
Yeah.
No, they did not. Joel. They played jujitsu.
In the basement, like yeah. no carpet.
Hey, guys, do you want to wrestle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so then, but yeah, so you go home and you're mad, and then I was just, like, under different control, you know, from not godly, and then I...
You had surrendered to it earlier.
Yeah.
By drinking it.
Yeah, by drinking, yeah. And then Joe and Heidi came, prayed for me.
I actually came, made fun of you for what you were drinking.
Yeah, he did, but then he also made fun of me. He said, "Cedric, you're getting too old for this. We're doing jujitsu, bro."
You got a baby, you can't be... Can't be doing that.
Can't be doing that.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. But, yeah, they came, they prayed, they dropped everything they were doing. And I remember, just like Joe and his testimony, when he was laying on the couch, it was, like, instantly sober. I didn't get, like, instantly sober, but I was a haunted, which...
All of a sudden, you were coherent.
Yeah.
Like, you were there, you could have a real conversation without the anger.
Yeah.
Because the spirit was out of the way
yeah, at that point. Yeah, because we cultivated an environment when Joe and Heidi came. They cultivated a different environment where that spirit couldn't dwell, you know?
Come on.
Yep.
I am not a confrontational person.
Oh.
I'm very easygoing. But when I got that phone call, I could have... ripped someone's head off.
Yeah, she could have played jujitsu.
I was not mad at you. I was mad at that spirit, and I was like, that thing is going tonight. Like, I was on another level.
Yep.
You guys dumped all the alcohol
with like spiritual anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was like driving away, and I was like, I sensed that he was looking for more. So I prayed about it.
And he was, too. Yeah. Like, the moment you guys left, it was like, it filled him again. He was like, "You're dumb. Like, there's a gas station right down the road. You think I won't walk?" Because I already hit all the keys.
Oh, that's
the
spirit talking.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. And I just...
Rotten thing.
I ignored it, and I just laid the baby down. I went and laid down, and I was like, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
We prayed about it. There's peace. Like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Just plead the blood of Jesus over your house.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were at church the next morning, weren't you?
Yeah, I was indeed.
Come on.
The black eye and
but
all.
Yeah, black eye, split eyebrow.
I was like, what happened to that idiot?
But the thing is before this, literally when we laid down for bed, this is a giant turning point, okay? I remember I was, like, completely sober and just filled with, like... embarrassment and guilt.
Shame.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I remember thinking to myself, God, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't act like this.
Mm.
I literally, as my wife was laying there, like, I literally laid my hand on her belly and I said, God, give me a daughter. Please let her be pregnant. And then
God said, double or nothing.
Yeah.
Shout out Brinley and Chloe, got two little baby girls.
Yeah.
Naturally conceived twin girls.
Yep.
And not even in our family.
But that wasn't even, how many months later?
Seven.
We were, I think, if it calculates correctly, we were 2 weeks pregnant at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys, this is insane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
That's why.
And you also can't make up the fact that God has his hand so heavily upon you that it's almost...
He put that desire in your heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, like, there was also a time where the door to marijuana started to get slightly opened again. And the Lord burdened me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know what that was because I've never experienced that level of intercession before where I didn't understand what was happening, but I was an absolute mess all day and I couldn't stop crying. And he was just bringing me to Zechariah. I still remember all the verses that I gave you, however many years or months ago, but he brought me and he said, you got to tell this to Cedric, give these words to Cedric, give these words to Cedric. And again, I'm not confrontational. So when the Lord was like, this kid's smoking again, get it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't tell someone that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't leave me. Mm-hmm. And like, I went and I couldn't even do it with Joe. I had to go by myself.
Yeah.
And when I walked into that house, I'm crying and telling you the word from the Lord. But just hearing the full testimony, hearing what happened on your wedding day, hearing how you did slip up a little bit after the wedding, get back on your feet, people, if you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things, there's no way that you could possibly deny God at any point of your life.
Yeah. And one thing that always stands out to me, like with even my testimony, it's always funny how, like, Pastor Lynette, like she leans into the prophetic pretty hard.
Mm.
So, like, there was never anything unknown. Like, even through your testimony, the Holy Spirit kept revealing to different ones of us every time you guys were into something.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no hiddens.
Even to the point where he did it with our kid. If you two are ever off, Maximus comes to me immediately.
Mm-hmm. Sums up a Cedric and Odessa.
100%. So God has, like, so close. And just hearing the prophecy from the wedding, it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look to the right or the left.
Yes.
So not only did God speak that to you specifically, but then he put people around you to help you stay on the straight and narrow.
Right.
He's like, dude, how many roadblockers do you need?
What is the call on your babies?
Come on. This is the thing. I was just going to say, like, the gain has to be so enormous for the kingdom of God that he would go to that. Like, he's going to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. He never gave up on me, no matter how many times I acted stupid. No. He was right there. That's why you have to, when you mess up, don't quit.
I believe that he's going to raise you guys up, not only spiritually and physically, but also financially, so that those kids aren't not burdened going into their ministry.
Because the generational curse of poverty will be broken off with you in Jesus' name.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, so much lightning happened outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, it goes so far beyond substance abuse. The anxiety.
Yeah, come on.
We got to break it.
Yes.
And then your girls don't have to.
Come on.
Atlas doesn't have to.
Yeah.
There's just so much on the line there for the kingdom.
Yes.
And God's like, he's put everything behind you.
Mm-hmm. And each pregnancy has been so, like, it's such a God thing, because we got married in February, and we were on the no plan before February, so it was like, we didn't really believe the doctors. They're like, oh, you can't get pregnant. Well, then in April, we get pregnant with Atlas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so he waited for us to get saved, to get married, to receive that message, to be following him. And then we got pregnant with Atlas, we had a healthy baby, and then after Cedric gets delivered from alcohol, because he has not went back, it's dead, gone, bye. Then we get two girls.
Yeah.
And like Cedric, the thing is, Cedric still had that thing where he's like, oh, I hate being sober. I just need to smoke weed. I need to smoke weed before I leave the house. Like, it was almost to calm his anxiety, but really it was giving him that anxiety.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, like, he's been sober for I don't even know how long, like completely sober. He doesn't even like to be high. He doesn't like to be around it. He just feels gross and dirty.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
And like, God gave him a good addiction.
Yeah.
Dirt bikes.
Yeah. I do really
with
feel,
helmets.
I feel really, really strongly though that tonight a gate was opened because like this man has said his testimony so much around this local area that he can't, like, falling's not an option. That's where you have to become.
Yeah, I said this to Joe. When was it? It was not that long ago. I was like, dude, if you ever changed your mind or fell off, you'd have to move away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to literally move across the country.
Right. But look at the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fruit that has come from it.
Yeah.
You're king number two. Yeah. Like, your testimony is going to set so many people free. And the more you tell it,
tell it like their lives are on the line.
Because they are.
They are.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.